The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
Now comes the book of Zephaniah, one of the lesser known of all the 66 books of the Bible. If it teaches anything abundantly clear, it is this: after tribulation comes glorification for the child of God. No prophet makes God's day of judgment more real than Zephaniah. And in an exquisitely beautiful passage, chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, we learn of the majesty and sovereignty of God and of our will bending to the will of heaven. He warns against star worship, as Jeremiah 2:13 also does. He warns against foreign dress and putting trust in nations instead of in God. He speaks of those settled on leaves, doing nothing, who say God will do nothing, who misunderstand that they must humble themselves if they would ever be exalted. Here are the lessons in Zephaniah. First, God's attitude toward sin is always the same. Therefore, the wicked need to repent or otherwise they'll perish. We cannot bribe God. Secondly, we learn that God's servants must boldly speak against all forms of wickedness. And third, we dare not allow anything to blind us to sin. In Zephaniah 1:12, we read of the man with a lamp searching Jerusalem for sinners to bring them to punishment. In Jeremiah 5:1, and Jeremiah was his contemporary, we read of one searching the city for righteous men, for just one righteous man, that Judah might be spared. The good King Josiah, 2 Kings 23, contemporary with Zephaniah and Jeremiah, had started a temporary spiritual reform or revival, but it didn't last long, for the good King Josiah was put to death in the Battle of Megiddo. In chapter 1, verse 18, we read of the day of the Lord, where God's enemies are rebuked, God's people are warned, and a future glory for a remnant who are faithful is promised. The Lord will make a clean sweep wherever sin abounds is one of the constant themes of Zephaniah. Since the day of the Lord is always near, a day of impending doom and judgment upon God's people and upon the world, men ought to always live in a state of repentance, contriteness, humility, and spirituality. The goodness of God leads us to repentance, Romans 2, verse 4. And godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, 2 Corinthians 7:10. God's people tried to worship Jehovah as just one of their deities, Baal, Ashtaroth, the host of heaven, Milcom, etc. But that won't work. Such sin of indifference shows that man's way is not God's way, for there is to be no other God before him, Exodus 20. Jehovah is a jealous God, 2 Corinthians 11:2. Judah refused to hear the voice of history, logic, or correction, and as Jeremiah 7:28 warned, that was a nation that would be overthrown. The better age the prophet foresees shall be the result of God's action through judgment and not through the social reforms of men. Zephaniah worked 625 years before Christ on the very brink of Babylonian captivity. Robinson, in his great book, calls Zephaniah the orator. His name means the Lord has protected. And Psalm 27, verse 1 and verse 4 fits into the grandeur of this book. The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? One thing desired of the Lord, one thing shall I after, may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Zephaniah is not deeply interested in passing events of secular history, but preeminently concerned with God's immutable will, rule, and judgment. The day of the Lord is at hand. Zephaniah includes threatenings and judgment, warnings and admonition, encouragement and promise. And because the people were stagnant, lifeless, corrupt, and selfish, they were, in Zephaniah's view, the same as atheistic, because they would not trust in God explicitly. A deep moral tone pervades the book of Zephaniah. Read especially chapter 3, verses 7 through 20. The book of Zephaniah tells us neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of God's wrath, Zephaniah 1:18. And because they rose up early to corrupt all their doings, Zephaniah 3:7, God was displeased with them. The little book of Haggai is a very rich book. Haggai 1:6 says that everything the people had done was done for naught because They had put it in a bag full of holes. When they got to their treasure, it was gone because they had put their trust in uncertain riches instead of the living God, to quote 1 Timothy 6:17. Consider your ways, Haggai says. The people had been back from captivity now for 16 years. But they had done nothing for God. They had just built the foundation of the temple, and they were returned to build the temple to add the dimension of worship to Abraham's seed so they would be spiritually ready for the coming of the Christ. But after they built that foundation, they quit working for God, and for the next 16 years built luxuriously finished paneled houses for themselves. God sent a prophet among them, and in 24 days they accomplished more than they'd done in 16 years previously, because he said, consider your ways, and when you do God's will, from that moment God will bless you. The book of Haggai tells us of the great work of the prophets of God, God's spokesman, one speaking for God to the people. He built a fire under them. It was called repentance. And when they turned to do God's will, then and only then were they blessed. The book of Haggai, then, is a rich book concerning God's blessings upon us when we do His will. And the latter glory of that temple was greater than even Solomon's splendor, because the Lord Jesus Christ would suddenly come to the temple and grace its environs with His own matchless splendor. The book of Zechariah, contemporary with Haggai, though a much longer book, teaches the same thing, the rebuilding of the temple. But he also tells us of the Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, who would shed His blood as a fountain for cleansing and for sin outside Jerusalem, Zechariah 13:1. The one who would stand on Mount Olivet, and that was fulfilled in Acts 1 when He ascended back to the Father from Mount Olivet, and all the earth was shattered because of His power and His presence and His kingship. The book of Zechariah tells us that the people had a heart like an adamant stone. God said, I called on you and you wouldn't hear me. Now you call unto me and I won't hear you. Your heart is like an adamant stone. But in Zechariah 8:23, He said, when you, this faithful remnant of Abraham's seed, remains faithful, when you do that, men will catch hold of you and go with you, for they have heard the Lord is on your side. The book of Zechariah has some predictions concerning the death of Christ, some of the events that happened at the crucifixion of our Lord, the betrayal by Judas, and the despicable conduct of the soldiers. The painful, shameful death of our Lord is all predicted in the book of Zechariah. And then the book of Malachi tells us that they, after 100 years back from Babylonian captivity, were still impenitent, unruly, ungodly. And they were offering to God, oh, sick, lame, maimed animals, foreign to the commands of the Levitical code. And he said, if you think that's pleasing to God, just give it to the governor of Persia and see what he thinks of it. He said, you've robbed me. You have not given me what you promised. And until you bring the money and the goods into the storehouse, not until then will I open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to you. He said, I'm keeping a book of remembrance, and all my jewels will be recorded there, and if you're not one of them, you'll be lost. Malachi 3:16. He said, God hates divorce. God never changes. And then he says, one in the spirit and power of Elijah will come to pave the way for the Lord, and then suddenly the Lord will come to His temple. This was fulfilled, Luke 1:17, in the coming of John the Baptizer, and in the coming of Jesus Christ. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the message of the prophets, Isaiah through Malachi, was this: Christ is coming. And Malachi closes by saying, suddenly the Lord will come to His temple. And as we open the New Testament, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ had come, as the prophet said. What a marvelous teaching, the book of the prophets.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.